Ready for summer in Alaska.
The following interviews and commentaries are for entertainment only. The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Welcome to Shooter's Corner, your program for conversation on guns, shooting, and your Second Amendment rights. Brought to you by Price RV, Auto Trim Design, by Rogers Auto Repair, and by Frontier Outfitters. Now, your host, Chuck Indereeden.
Welcome, listeners. You're here with Chuck and Cindy, or Boise Bell, here at the great city of Fairbanks, Alaska. It is currently cooler, and that is a good thing. I got to tell you, last week I felt like a brisket walking around out there, hot and smoky.
Ew. Yeah, you did. You did smell like a brisket.
But not as tasty.
Not tasty, no.
All right, but nonetheless, welcome. Hey, so you're here with us at Shooter's Corner, and we got a couple of topics we want to talk about today. One just kind of hit the press as hard yesterday. You still got background music?
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
You should just sing along.
I thought you were singing me, Chuck.
Yeah. You know, I was kind of, never mind. I'll leave that one alone. Anyways, if you have any questions or comments about today's show or past shows, just go ahead and call that 907-458-TALK, 458-8255. Remember, you can also live stream if you're out of state or at a remote location. Just click on that KFARradio.com, big orange ball that says listen live. If you missed a show, particularly like last week's show where we talked about the Declaration of Independence, you can always go to KFARradio.com. Scroll down to Shooter's Corner with Chuck Indereeden, and then click on those archives down there past my bio. It'll be pretty good. Got Teresa running the board for us today, so maybe we'll hit our breaks on time. I don't know.
Maybe. We'll see.
Yeah, she won't be interested in this. But nonetheless, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. All right, you ready to get this show started, Miss Cindy?
Let's go. Boise right. Bell's ready.
You're adopted to that. All right, hey, listen up. Remember, our shotgun class is going to be August 9th. That's one day. That's just a 10-hour day. Got it. It's going to be a kind of a suck fest, but you're going to get filled with a bunch of information and learn how to run that shotgun if you need to use it in some type of self-defense capacity, whether it's out in camp or whether it's in your home. We're going to also run you through that bear qualification that the Fish and Game has as well. So that'll give you a good, data point, I guess, would be a good way of saying it, to work with, so that if you decided to take it out camping or whatever, then you would understand what the timelines need to be in particular if you got a bear running at you head on. Our defensive handgun for the armed citizen class is posted on our website at c4traininggroup.com, and that is the 19th and 20th of July, so just right around the corner. We still have a couple slots for our Alaska Concealed Handgun Permit class this weekend. That's on our website at C4 Training Group. But kind of the biggest thing about that, most people will take that class because they want to learn how to use their gun. Also, when can they use their gun? So we talk about that with the statutes, the use of force, and then also get you familiarized with it as far as the loading, unloading, and manipulations. And in addition to that, one of the benefits of having that handgun permit is that reciprocity going to other states. And probably the number two reason that people sign up for that class is just that NICS exemption that they can get. So if you decide to go buy a gun, then you already have that knocked out, and that makes a buying process much easier. All right. Cool. So we're going to talk about a couple things today, but before we get started, I hope everyone had a great 4th of July. I am kind of appreciative of the rain, although it does kind of suck. Everything wet. I guess we had the second highest day, or we just broke some record from 1917 or something like that with almost an inch of rain yesterday alone.
That was a lot. I was hiking in that yesterday.
Yeah, good. Saves water at home taking a shower.
Yeah, we got drenched.
Exactly. But I know it's probably a good break for the firefighters and stuff like out there, and we definitely appreciate them. like protecting our resources and stuff, like homes and cabins and everything else that we have out there, and keeping these fires down. I know that when we had that thunderstorm that kicked off, we had like 5 or 7 new fires that like kicked off just because of lightning alone. So.
Yeah. You know, the frustrating part is when I'm driving behind somebody and they throw out a cigarette out of the car window. That frustrates me a little bit.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah. I understand. Because a lot of these ones are not man-caused. They're technically lightning-caused. You know, they're acts of God. But those are definitely things that can be prevented for sure. Like,
definitely.
As Smokey the Bear said, only you can prevent forest fires.
That's right.
So, all right. Well, we didn't hear any fireworks, so I guess everybody stays safe in that regard and not starting any new fires. But nonetheless, if you missed last week's show, please go online and scroll down and hit the archives and listen to it, because that was actually a really good show talking about the Declaration of Independence and also the documentary show, The Patriot.
It was really good.
Yeah. Okay. Teresa's looking at me like, what? The documentary show? The Patriot?
It's not a show, Chuck.
It wasn't a documentary? Yes, it was.
I called it a show. It's a documentary.
Well, kind of like one of the important things about last week's show was that Lee Robinson, like, the Lee resolution, I mean, like literally was the Kickstarter for that whole thing. So that's pretty good. So today's show, we're going to talk about a couple things. One, we're going to talk about the good old Sig Sauer P320, because some new stuff came out yesterday that was just released. And then also, or last couple days, but nonetheless, we're also going to talk about Girl in a Gun event that they held recently. They have released all of the data points that they have in regards to what the usage of what firearms, brands, makes, models, gear, everything. So we're going to kind of go through that as well. So you have to understand that what's really important is Girl and Gun National Conference brings together hundreds of women from across the country for a one-of-a-kind firearms training experience. This year, the event Accelerate 2025 hosted 750 participants, right? Each of whom went through a comprehensive gear check process. All firearms were functions checked, and every piece of gear was logged, giving them one of the most accurate, unbiased snapshots of what women are actually using, carrying, and training with in the real world. That's important. Because
the real world, not combat.
Right. But this data is unlike anything else in the industry. No serial numbers, personal information was collected. But what it does, or what it did, is it provides the firearms industry, the training industry, the gear, you know, industry, an insight as to what metric to use for developing stuff. So it gives them a much better benchmark in that women's firearms market, if you will, which I think is important. Like, it's missed all too often.
It is. It is. Yeah. You know, it's either you're now 5.11 came out with women's pants to wear for out on the range.
Mm-hmm.
But that is also geared towards a lot of law enforcement. And now there is a new set of leggings for women with their guns. And I haven't seen them yet, so I will be researching that.
You going to wear them?
Yeah.
Is that a gun, or are you just happy to see me? I don't know.
They're leggings, so when we wear our leggings, we can carry our handgun.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right, so let's get into it. At the 2025 A Girl and a Gun National Conference, a total of 1,028 pistols were logged during the gear check process. Among the major brands, several standout models emerged as favorites among the women shooters. Glock, who was the title sponsor of the event, had another strong showing with the Glock 19. And we've talked about that in classes before, the Glock 19 probably being the midsize of that series. So the Glock 17 being the full size, Glock 19 being the compact, the Glock 26 being the subcompact out of that line right there. So the 19 was there, followed closely by the Glock 34, which is essentially the same frame size as the 17, but it has a long slide on it in 9mm caliber. And then the Glock 17, which is the actual regular, if you want to call it that, full-size 9mm that Glock has. And I bet they were all Gen 5 as well, or at least Gen 4. So, and then Sig Sauer P365XL also ranked highly and reinforced its reputation as a viable option for everyday carry and training. Walther's PDPF series right? Earned a top spot for the second year in a row across all brands and far outpaced other Walther models thanks to its ergonomics tailored especially for women, right?
We need to check that out. I need to check that gun out.
Right, and we got to get ready to head into our first break, but you know, we just got you an H&K VP9A1, which has the modular panels on the side. So we can adjust the front back pull, and then we can also increase or decrease the side panels as well. So we'll see how that works. But we'll look at this also, this Walther PDP. I mean, what does it give us another reason to buy a gun?
No, it gives us a reason. Well, we can compare. We could try one. Try it before we decide to buy it.
Yeah, cool. All right. Thank you for listening in. Shooter's Corner, Chuck and Reed here in Fairbanks, Alaska. When we come back, Cindy and I will continue on this discussion about the Girl and the Gun events. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after this break.
Fish on! The Valdez Fishing Report is brought to you by Frontier Outfitters. Drop in and explore their extensive fishing department. Rods to reels, lures to lines. You'll see fresh and saltwater as well as fly fishing tackle for every game fish in Alaska. Stock up on supplies for your Alaska-sized summer of fun. Coolers to camping gear. Frontier Outfitters is your first stop to making your next outdoor adventure a success. Your store for the outdoors. Frontier Outfitters for your Alaskan lifestyle.
It's time for the Valdez Fishing Report. Interviews, derby standings, tips, and advice for Prince William Sound. We're talking with Joseph Fleischer of Anacortes, Washington, reeled in 105-pound halibut. Your very first experience. So what surprised you most about halibut fishing?
I think what surprised me the most is just the fight to get it up. It was my first experience with the halibut, and I mean, it was very tiring, but I didn't give up, and I had my captain, he knew the waters, and he knew how to bring it in, so he kind of coached me through that, and we got it up on the boat, and yeah, it was a great experience with lots of just, you know, emotion kind of going through it, because I was just really, really excited, so just kind of staying calm, getting the fish on the boat was, yeah, that was the goal, so that's what we did.
What were some of the key points the captain gave you as you were reeling?
To keep tension on the reel, to put the reel in your hip, and you know, and just make sure that you're reeling it in. If it fights, let it fight, and then it will stop. And you reel it in, get it really close, and then he did the harpooning, and we got it close to the boat, and then he grabbed it and picked it up on the boat and slammed it on the deck, and that's how we got it up there.
Park your rig, pitch a tent, or check into your private cabin at Eagles Rest RV Resort, then explore Valdez. Eagles Rest RV Resort is the perfect place to land in Valdez. Book RV sites, glamping tents, and cabins online at eaglesrestrv.com. We now accept online reservations for our tent area. Nothing beats summer in Valdez, so the sooner you book, the better. eaglesrestrv.com. See you in Valdez.
KVAK's Valdez Fishing Report. Fish Valdez and reel in a big one.
You find your calm and steady out on the trail, wherever Alaska's wilderness calls you, and you keep answering that call every time. The next hunt, the next fishing trip, or camping with the family. Living in Alaska gives you the opportunity to explore. Finding your Alaska is a journey that will always lead you just beyond your next campsite. Frontier Outfitters is here, so you can be there. Alaskan proven equipment, the brands you trust. Frontier Outfitters, for your Alaskan lifestyle.
Discovering things out on the road is just one of the joys of RVing, unless you've discovered a problem with a propane appliance or electrical issue. Take it to Price RV to keep your RV road ready. Price RV maintains your propane heater or stove, inspects and repairs wiring or electrical issues, fixes broken water lines, leaks, and vent problems. Before you get on the road, get over to Price RV. Call 907-651-6626, end of Plaque Road on Marble Court in North Pole.
Hey Fairbanks, Bryant from Auto Trim Design. Now's the perfect time to get your work truck set up right. From toppers, back racks, beacons, running board seat covers, floor liners, bed slides, ladder racks, and so much more. Auto Trim Design has everything you need to tackle any job. Our commercial toppers keep your equipment and tools secure and out of the elements. Need to keep your bed organized? Add a deck drawer system to easily access all your gear. Contact Auto Trim Design for your professional truck grade accessories today.
Customized by Auto Trim Design. KFAR weather.
Slight chance for isolated showers today, otherwise overcast. High of 67, westerly winds around 5 miles an hour.
49 tonight.
Sunshine mixed with clouds at times tomorrow.
Slight chance for showers.
Daytime highs approaching 74.
And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Derek Height.
And now back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio.
Welcome back, listeners. You're here with Chuck and Reading at Shooter's Corner here in Fairbanks, Alaska, KFAR Radio 97.5, 660 AM. Got Boise Bell with me hanging out. We're talking about Girl and a Gun National Conference, where they had over 1,028 pistols there with lady shooters. And we're talking about some of the data that they had released out of their Accelerate data, or actually spreadsheet thingy that I downloaded nonetheless. But hey, if you missed the first half, just hang around for the second half of the show as well, because we're going to talk about the SIG P320 debacle that's kind of going around the world right now. But nonetheless, okay, so let's get back at it. So the represented brands, let's see, Glock, 21%, Sig Sauer was at 18%, Walther was at 15%, Smith & Wesson was at 10%, and the majority of those Smith & Wesson, believe it or not, was the Smith & Wesson EZ. You know, you've had that. You got one.
I have one. And the problem with that, we bought that. It was around December. We bought that, and we were out shooting, and a friend of ours said, hey, you know, wanted to try it, and it was a brand new gun, and the sight went flying right off it. Those are expensive. They're like, what, $75?
No, that was just the factory plastic sights that were on it.
Oh, the plastic. Well, that was
so bad. I replaced them with Trigigon HDs.
Okay.
So you have better,
He felt so bad. He felt so bad.
We couldn't find the thing either. It was
It was like no big deal.
It was like the gun ate it or something. I don't even know where it went.
But it's pretty sad. You buy a brand new gun and then the sight goes flying off on
it. So out of the Glock pistols themselves, the 19 led the way with 36% of those. So that compact size. The Glock 34 was second, 17 was third, and the Glock 43X was at fourth place with 10%.
What is the IWI?
What?
IWI.
Where are you seeing IWI? Why do you have to scroll all the way down to there? I don't know.
Okay, I guess I'll have to Google. Maybe one of our listeners will know what a IWI handgun is.
Hold on. We'll probably pull it up right now. And let's see. That would be a hard no.
Huh.
Unless it's Israeli Works or something like that, international or something like that. I don't know. I just made that up. But I probably nailed it too. Don't know. All right, let's go move on.
All right, let's move on. I'll find it for you.
Awesome. Optics on the guns. As you know, I carry optics on my guns, even my off. Duty carry is all optics. Cindy has optics on her guns as well. That's the way to go. This is the way. 55% of the participants, Hollow Sun, dominated that category by 65%. What are you like showing me? That's IWI.
I know. That's what it said. IWI.
Okay. Anywho, moving on. Hollow Sun, then Sig Sauer, right behind that. That was probably the ones that were on every single one of those 365 XLs. I guarantee it. And then Trigicon was right behind there, his pistol-mounted optics. So that's the RMR, maybe RMRCs, those kind of ones with an open emitter. Red Dot was a lead, with the green being second. And then like two shooters out of all those groups had gold or amber, if you want to call them that. Most of them had iron sights that were stock, and then only 3% actually upgraded to an aftermarket iron sight, with Trigicon being the lead on that with 48%. And then a lot of them had stock triggers, but then those that made upgrades used the Glock Performance or Apex Tactical.
Well, so. I'm really stuck on this IWI because I just pulled it up, and this review is saying, I think IWI is one of the guns, the world's best kept secrets. And that's kind of a shame. I've extended trigger time with five different IWI firearm models, and everyone has performed extremely well. Here it is. Here's a picture of it. You guys have...
Okay, I'm tracking with you.
Yeah.
However, who makes it? Well, the gun is called the Masada, so that tells you it probably comes from the Israelis.
The Masada. Well, see, then it's a good gun, right?
I mean, your life depends on it majority of the time, then yeah, I would say so.
Callers, let us know what you think.
Yeah.
Or who, maybe one of our call, one of our guests may have one.
Thanks, Cynthia. Freaking banging into the microphone. Let's get moving on. We're going to lose people. All right. Holsters, right? Top brands, Comptac and Black Scorpion were the two leaders there. And then the magazine pouches, Black Scorpion and Comptac. I went to their website. They actually have some pretty good looking Kydex stuff. A lot of their stuff is from the competition shooting side of the world, hence Comptac. But they do have some, what we would say, EDC carry or like concealed carry stuff as well. Look pretty good. I tend to stick with one that kind of ranked really low on here. It was Pitbull Tactical. I kind of like their off-duty carry or concealed carry mag pouches because they have that like a rubber band system on it that allows you to expand it to a double stack, or you can also use it for a single stack. One of my friends gave one to me, a couple of them to me, actually, Robert. And I like them.
That's what are they? All I pretty what much is that called now. Again?
Pitbull Tactical.
Pitbull Tactical.
Yeah, if you look on this spreadsheet right here, it talks about them up there, like in the top ranking, like 34% or 6% of the people you were using those. So, nonetheless, hey, we got a caller. It's probably about your IWI call. Caller, you got Chuck and Cindy here. Go ahead.
Hey, Chuck, this is Ron.
Hey, Ron.
Just a little input there. My wife runs a 380 Smith EZ with a Holosun 50K on it.
Okay.
And boy, in slow fire, she is scary.
Oh, yeah. They're an accurate little gun. They're easy to manipulate, hence the reason why they call them the EZ. But... yeah, it's a good little gun. Don't get me wrong.
It is a nice little gun, but I still like my Glocks.
Yeah, and 380 being kind of the low end of the self-defense caliber that I would probably stick with. So.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, good setup for ladies with weaker hands.
Absolutely, and that's the key. Because as we age, men and women, we start to lose that manual dexterity and stuff. And
arthritis sets in.
Yeah. I mean, Cindy's already experienced a little bit of that.
No, I haven't.
Not the age thing. I'm not talking about
not
that.
Not the arthritis.
I hear you talking on the age factor.
Our bodies are maturing.
thank you for calling, Ron. Appreciate that input. All right, so cool. And then they also broke it down by rifles and the sighting systems on those and slings and all that kind of stuff. So it's a lot of really good data for the industry, to be quite honest with you. But nonetheless... So we don't run out of time. Oh, did you have something to add?
I was going to say.
Like you're waiting there with bated breath.
No, that is going to open up a whole new line of clothing for women and gear for women.
Oh, did you read that?
Yes,
they
and
also,
I'm excited.
They also did
about
clothing.
I didn't look at the clothing on
yeah,
that.
Yeah, so 5'11 led the way.
Okay.
Yeah. Lululemon or whatever wasn't even on there. Just so you know.
They're overrated.
Hearing protection was Walkers. Right, which is what we use primarily anyways. Let's see. Pants, 5'11 Tactical, followed by, believe it or not, Duluth Trading Company.
Huh. Right?
Belts was the next belt. That's that ratchet belt. You have one.
Yes.
Or a couple. Black Scorpion and then Core Essentials. So, yeah, they got it all broken down here by pants, eyewear. Eye protection was SSP, followed by Hunter's HD Gold, and then Oakley, and then Wiley X. Yeah, they got quite a bit of data here. Shotgun brand led the way with Beretta and then Mossberg. The types, semi-automatic was primary. Hinge break action literally was second instead of pump. That's interesting, huh?
We don't have a Mossberg, do we? I'd like to shoot.
We do have a Mossberg.
How come I haven't seen it?
Because it's maybe we don't have one. I don't.
We don't have one. I can tell by your look in your eyes.
Yeah, actually, we do.
It's a 20 gauge.
Oh, okay. Pump.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, anyways, we got 1 minute left. So let me, yeah, it's good. Data, here, read.
I throw him Chuck off.
Totally got me out of my OODA loop and stuff like that. But we got to get ready to go into the break. And what I want to talk about more than anything is 6 hour of the P320 and their uncommanded discharges, right? And we'll go into the break and we'll start it off with this. Until now in the firearms training world, we had accidental discharge, the negligent discharge, and now the new word is the uncommanded discharge, right? So when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about Sig Sauer and their uncommanded discharges, what the Michigan State Police had, what the Federal Bureau of Investigation investigated and had a report released through FOIA, the Freedom of Information Act, and what the U.S. Immigrant and Customs Enforcement released yesterday. We'll be right back. Chuck, Shooter's Corner, stay tuned.
Your calls, your opinions. It's Problem Corner, weekdays from 11 to noon on KFAR.
Fox News, I'm John Saucier. Communities in Texas picking up the pieces after devastating floods destroyed homes and trees, leaving hundreds of people missing or dead. Department of Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem on Fox News Channel praising the federal response to this disaster.
Nobody there has said anything about that they didn't get everything that they wanted immediately or that they needed.
The tragedy happened over the July 4th holiday. Secretary said Marco Rubio is in Malaysia for the annual Association of Southeast Asian Nations Regional Forum. He met with several key leaders, including Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov. The Trump administration not happy right now with Russian President Vladimir Putin and his war on Ukraine.
The president's been pretty clear. He's disappointed and frustrated that there's not been more flexibility on the Russian side to bring about an end to this conflict. We hope that can change.
The Trump administration is thinking about fresh sanctions against Russia. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
KTOO reports on July 1st, Alaska's new sick leave and minimum wage increase law took effect. Approved by voters in November, it states that someone working at a business with 15 or more employees will earn 1 hour of paid sick leave for every 30 hours worked, up to a maximum of 56 per year, unless the employer voluntarily increases that limit. Someone working at a business with fewer than 15 employees earns sick leave at the same rate, but the maximum per year is 40 hours. The law also raised the state's minimum wage to $13 per hour. The minimum wage raises to $14 per hour next year and $15 per hour in 2027. It will rise with the rate of inflation for each year after that. The law also forbids bosses from forcing their employees to attend meetings about religious or political issues, including whether or not to join a labor union, political group, or church. There are exemptions, though, for religious organizations.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
Discovering things out on the road is just one of the joys of RVing, unless you've discovered a problem with a propane appliance or electrical issue. Take it to Price RV to keep your RV road ready. Price RV maintains your propane heater or stove, inspects and repairs wiring or electrical issues, fixes broken water lines, leaks, and vent problems. Before you get on the road, get over to Price RV. Call 907-651-6626, end of Plaque Road on Marble Court in North Pole.
What does it look like when your faithful friend in the driveway has an off day? Well, it looks like no fun, like bumming a ride to work, the store, rescheduling lunch with your yoga instructor, all because your four-wheeled pal is waiting for parts. We do our own routine maintenance, but our chariot depends on us to schedule that for them. Airboat and inboard service too. Family owned and operated. Keeping Fairbanks on the road since 1967. Rogers Auto Repair.
It's that time of year again. The sun is out, roads are clear, and gravel is everywhere. At Auto Trim Design, we have you covered. With our self-healing paint protection film, keeping your paint looking showroom new and defending from rock chips and scratches, helping your car stay flawless for years. With our ceramic window tint, not only will it add a stylish look, it also provides protection from harmful UV rays, reduces glare, blocks heat, and increases privacy. From exterior protection to interior comfort, Auto Trim Design has you covered. Stop by or give us a call to get your vehicle ready for summer in Alaska.
And now back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio.
Welcome back, listeners. You're here with Chuck and Boise Bell. Shooter's Corner here in Fairbanks, Alaska on KFAR Radio, 97.5, 660 AM. Prior to the break, we were talking about Girl and a Gun and their national conference. And the data points that they got out of that. But during the break, we got a caller. So, hey, caller, you're here with Chuck and Cindy. Go ahead. And you're on.
Hey, this is Thomas.
Hey, hi, Thomas.
Hey, one thing is IWI, they're known for the Galil and the Uzis.
Okay. That's what I kind of thought. I thought it was an Israeli-based manufacturer.
They are. And I think one of the reasons why they might appear is that with the Masadas, a lot of the Jewish kids from New York City go to Israel for training and go to visit Israel, and they come back with an appreciation for IWI weapons.
Gotcha. Perfect.
Question on the 320 deal, it's kind of like the Pinto. Do you remember the Pinto when it was struck from the back, it would explode?
Yeah, and it would literally explode.
So one of the things I think SIG has really gone towards that fire and control unit, and it's modular, so you need mm-hmm. to kind of mix and match everything. And by doing that, they basically have exposed themselves to a situation where it's almost easier for them to deal with the individual cases than it is to identify, yes, I have a problem. There's a famous YouTuber called the SIG Armor.
Yeah, I watched his video.
And he basically had a fix for the fire and control unit malfunction, and SIG paid him a visit, and he said, well, no, there's no problem.
Yeah, he recanted after that, yeah.
So that's the biggest issue, is if there's an issue, they're so big that they don't want their Wonder Bread to have any mold on the crust. So they just basically are saying, hey, you look at every single one of these and negligent discharge, and there's something behind it. You know, there's something that's a little bit different. You know, they jammed it into the holster, or they were grabbing something,
yep.
or they tuned the trigger to minimal type standards. But it's kind of shaken up. You know, people are not buying the 320s. They're buying the 365s. They're buying some of the other like the 320-10s, they still buy some of those, but they're not buying the 320s like they did before.
Perfect. Appreciate the call. Let me get started on this, because that's exactly what I want to address and what SIG did as far as changing the kind of the whole language of everything nowadays. So
yes.
Appreciate the call.
You take care.
Thank you, Thomas.
So here's the deal. We already talked about what the verbiage was before: accidental discharge, negligent discharge. Let's kind of break those down. An accidental discharge occurs when the firearm fires without the shooter's intent or voluntary action, typically due to a mechanical failure, environmental factors, or involuntary physical reactions, not due to negligence or mishandling. Here's how it breaks down. Unintentional or involuntarily, the shooter did not intend to fire and may not have even touched the trigger. Mechanical failure, a malfunction in the firearm, struck firing pin safety or a faulty safety causes it to fire. Drop fire incidents, some firearms not designed to be drop safe may discharge when dropped. Involuntary reflexes, a fall or sudden movement can cause a reflexive trigger pull even if the finger was outside the guard. Not to be confused with a negligent discharge. This involves careless or reckless handling, such as pulling the trigger while assuming the gun is unloaded. It's preventable and legally actionable. Okay? So there's kind of the difference. Negligent means human interaction, and accidental generally goes back to the fault of the gun itself. Now, here's what SIG did to change the narrative. The term uncommanded discharge, introduced by Sig Sauer, has certainly steered debate, and not just among firearm enthusiasts. It's a linguistic pivot that seems designed to distinguish certain incidents from the more legally and emotionally charged terms like accidental or negligent. See how they did there?
I guess I won't buy a Sig.
Well, why this term? Uncommanded implies the firearm discharged without any user input, especially without a trigger pull. It sidesteps the implication of fault or error, whether mechanical or human. It's likely a strategic move in response to lawsuits and public scrutiny surrounding the P320 series and has been accused of firing while holstered. The legal and PR implications are by using the uncommanded, SIG may be trying to reframe the narrative, suggesting these incidents are anomalies, not design flaws or user mistakes. It also helps distance the company from liability, especially in courtrooms where negligent or accidental could imply culpability. The FBI's recent report on the P320 M18 incident noted the gun fired while holstered with no trigger contact. SIG maintains that the pistol cannot fire without the trigger being pulled, citing extensive testing and dismissed lawsuits. Critics argue that the term uncommanded is just a euphemism for a malfunction or, worse, a design flaw. It's a fascinating example of how language shapes perception. Uncommanded discharge is clinical, neutral, and avoids blame, but it also raises questions. If no one commanded it, what did? And if it's not accidental or negligent, is it inevitable? And then I saw this little thing that somebody had posted online. They said SIG. It's an acronym for self-inflicted gunshot. But it's not self-inflicted. It's technically uncommanded, I guess, right? All right, so here's the deal. There was a guy online who did a FOIA request with the Federal Bureau of Investigation, and he reached out to them and got a copy of the Federal Bureau of Investigation Drug Enforcement Administration's Ballistic Research Facility, BRF. They're the sole research, development, testing, and evaluation facility for weapons, ammunition, armor, and other law enforcement items. The facility was created in March of 1988 as a direct result of the April 11th, 1986 gunfight in which two special agents were killed. That was the one down in Florida. If you don't know about it, just Google it. The background of this was on July 31st, 2024, so just last year, an MSP, Michigan State Police, motor officer was standing in a squad area with other members when his department issued SIG Sauer M18 fired uncommanded. The firearm was reportedly secured in a department-issued Alien Gear Rapid Force Level 3 holster at the time of firing. According to the MSP motor officer's statement and the statements of others present, at no time was the trigger pressed intentionally or inadvertently. The MSP motor officer had objects in his hands at the time of the event, including keys. Because that was one of the things that SIG was always doing. Like, oh my God, a set of car keys or something like that got wedged in there, or your prison.
They're blaming everything but the person.
Yeah. Exactly.
But them.
So here's what Michigan State Police did that was incredibly smart. Because what other people have done is take the gun out of the holster, unload, and clear it. What Michigan State Police did was the subject firearm, while in the holster, was removed from the member's leg and placed in an evidence bag pending further evaluation. They didn't unload, clear it, nothing.
That was smart.
Yeah. So they were like, okay, we're going to send this thing off to the FBI. And so it went directly to the Ballistic Research Facility. So on August 2nd, 2024, BRF was requested to conduct an evaluation of the subject pistol. Let's skip forward and stuff. All right. Okay, so in addition to the holster or the firearm and holster, MSP utilizes the SIG Sauer Romeo M17 pistol mounted optic and the Surefire X300 turbo weapon mounted light. That's going to be important later on, okay? It is estimated the weapon had been fired 1,300 rounds before the incident took place. That was the 1,200 rounds that was fired during the transition course. And then the weapon was cleaned at the conclusion of that course. And then it was fired another 100 rounds during an open range session in mid-July of 2024. The officer did not clean the weapon following that open range session. On July 31st of 2024, and several minutes prior to the uncommanded firing, the MSP motor officer conducted approximately three presentation drills from the holster to practice acquiring the red dot. That's also going to be critical here in a minute. The only known modification to the subject's weapon and all MSP weapons was to the trigger. When MSP took delivery of the weapons from SIG Sauer, MSP experienced dead trigger issues. SIG Sauer determined that the triggers were out of specification and ground off 0.02 inches. The updated triggers were largely installed by SIG Sauer. However, an MSP armor trained in the SIG Sauer P320 platform installed the subject weapon's modified trigger. So let me get this right. SIG Sauer delivers these pistols to the Michigan State Police, and a lot of them have dead triggers already. So they ground. Yeah.
So, but Sig's not going to stand up and say we are responsible for this. Just say you're responsible and recall the guns.
After their military contracts, too? Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Beside the dead triggers, the only other weapon-related issues reported as of this date has been a broken disconnector that occurred after our first few 100 rounds that had been fired on that single gun. All right, so the evaluation for this gun that was shipped by MSP, right, began in August 7th of 2024 following the transport of the subject firearm. They got it listed there. They kind of blocked out a bunch of stuff because of the FOIA request. All right, so the executive vice president of Alien Gear actually showed up to this testing. Initial evaluation, Sig Sauer refused to participate. Okay. All right. Evaluation was conducted to determine if there was any evidence indicating the trigger had been pressed, if the holster may have caused the incident, and to determine the plausibility of the firearm firing uncommanded. Prior to the manipulation, they took an X-ray of the gun inside the holster. Guess what they discovered?
What?
An empty casing still in the chamber because it had fired, right? And the trigger had reset on its own. I'm reading this right out of the FBI report.
Well, more reason why not to buy one.
Okay, don't harp on that. All right, but we're going to be right back after this break. We're going to continue on this interesting conversation, and then we're going to get to the letter written by U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement as well. Basically, pulling the P320 from the field. We'll be right back after this break.
Discovering things out on the road is just one of the joys of RVing. Unless you've discovered a problem with a propane appliance or electrical issue, take it to Price RV to keep your RV road ready. Price RV maintains your propane heater or stove, inspects and repairs wiring or electrical issues, fixes broken water lines, leaks, and vent problems. Before you get on the road, get over to Price RV. Call 907-651-6626, end of Plaque Road on Marble Court in North Bowl.
Hey Fairbanks, Bryant from Auto Trim Design. Now's the perfect time to get your work truck set up right. From toppers, back racks, beacons, running board seat covers, floor liners, bed slides, ladder racks, and so much more. Auto Trim Design has everything you need to tackle any job. Our commercial toppers keep your equipment and tools secure and out of the elements. Need to keep your bed organized? Add a deck drawer system to easily access all your gear. Contact Auto Trim Design for your professional truck grade accessories today.
Customized by Auto Trim.
There's fishing, and then there's dip netting. Frontier Outfitters knows you need to maximize your catch and that you're working against the clock. So they make it real easy for you to get what you need fast. Whether you're on a boat or shore, from permits to dip nets, they carry fighting handles, D-handles, and more. So your tired, numb hands can hold on when that big king tries to yank your gear into the river. Plus those poles and the extensions for those deep holes and replacement nets as well. Your next outdoor adventure starts at Frontier Outfitters for your Alaskan lifestyle.
KFAR weather.
Slight chance for isolated rain showers today. Otherwise, cloudy skies expected. Daytime highs approaching 67. West winds around 5 miles per hour. Partly cloudy skies tonight. Lows dip down to about 49. Slight chance for showers tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 74. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And now back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio.
Welcome back, listeners. You're here with Chuck and Boise Bell, Shooter's Corner here in great city of Fairbanks, Alaska. We're at KFAR Radio, 97.5, 660 AM. When we left for the break, we were talking about the FBI's report, excuse me, that was released through a FOIA request. And we're talking about the P320 and how the Michigan State Police had an uncommanded discharge. That's Sig's word. We already talked about that. If you missed any part of the show at the beginning, feel free to jump on there at kfarradio.com. Click on that Shooter's Corner link. Scroll down past our bio, and you'll see the archives down there. You'll be able to listen to this show later on, maybe tomorrow or so. But nonetheless, let's get started. So when we left off, we had the ballistics people had actually x-rayed the gun. They found that the expended casing was still inside the chamber and that the trigger had actually reset itself. And this isn't a level 3 holster, by the way. And then also that they did some testing of the trigger itself as well, and they found that it had an average trigger pull weight of 6.69 pounds, which is a pretty heavy trigger pull if you think about it, because the standard Glock straight out of the box is like 5 to 5.5. Anyways, the six-hour pistol supplied by MSP, Michigan State Police, the parts they inspected was not limited to the following: the striker, striker pin, striker safety notch, striker safety lock, all of these parts, trigger bar. Initial observation of these parts without magnification showed little observable information. However, there were a few items selected for further inspection. The striker safety lock spring is used to hold the striker safety lock in a downward position until acted upon by the captive safety lever. The striker safety lock is intended to prevent the striker from moving forward in the event sear engagement, primary or secondary, is lost. It was observed that this spring was not fully seated on its post as seen in the photograph. So you can go online and actually find this thing. All right, so let's go on. They had some issues with the strikers, the sear releases, the primary engagement, the secondary engagement. But let's get on to some more notable stuff because we only have a few minutes in this session, to be quite honest with you. All right, so one of the things that SIG has also been trying to say is, well, you know, the officer may have stuck their finger in there and, you know, set, you know, pressed the trigger. So they covered that as well. The executive vice president of Alien Gear inspected the holster and confirmed that the holster was undamaged and is in normal working order. An attempt was made by a BRF staff member to access the trigger while the weapon was properly holstered. The staff member was able to force his finger into the holster and contact the trigger. Due to the excessive force necessary, it is an improbable event. As previously stated, the MSP member was holding objects in his hand when the event occurred, including his keys, which are shown below, right? So they took a picture of that as well. And anecdotally, some of the people that are talking about this said that the guy who had to shove his finger in there said it was like painful to even do that. So there was very little clearance to be able to do that. Okay. So also they did a high speed video of this gun while it functions, right? So to gain a better understanding of the movement of the subject weapon and its components during live fire, test shots were taken utilizing a high-speed camera. All right. To be able to do this, part of the rear slide cap had been trimmed off a little bit. Glock has kind of the same things. As a Glock armor, I have a couple of sets to where you can, like, replace the slide end and actually observe the sear engagement, the level of sear engagement. Anyways, they shaved one of these off and then actually did this test. A review of the high-speed video resulted in the following observations: slide catch lever bounce, sear bounce, and striker safety lock and spring movement. This is while it was firing. So during recoil, BRF observed the slide catch lever bounce into the slide catch notch, while no malfunctions were observed during this testing. So this thing's like literally like, could lock it to the rear on you? I don't know. But there's a whole sentence that they literally have blacked out. Like, they don't want anybody to know what that one was. And the reference to it down at the bottom is blacked out as well. All right? We got a caller. Go ahead, caller, because I only got a few minutes. Guess we don't have a caller. Moving on.
Hello?
Yes, hello. Is this Randy?
Yeah. Yes. I just had a simple question. What do you mean when you say the trigger reset itself? What does that mean?
That's exactly what the FBI report said. So it went back to the primary sear engagement. So
when a person pulls the trigger, it stays in a certain position until it's reset?
That's correct.
I don't understand it.
Correct. So if I press the trigger on a regular operating gun and I pin it to the rear, the trigger will not reset until the trigger is able to travel back to its forward position and then reset. So if this gun fired, even without the slide moving inside this Type 3 level holster, somehow this trigger was also able to reset itself as well without the slide actuating.
I have a SIG 360, but I guess I'm not familiar enough to know what this resetting business is. I'm going to have to look at my gun again.
Yeah, you probably won't have the same issue with yours as they did in the 320s. So.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. All right, so check this out. They also did a Prime K, another test. So they did some other tests, right? This striker safety lock test, okay? It's only active safety preventing the striker from inadvertently striking the primer. It is the last safety with an opportunity to catch the striker. Striker is also another word for firing pin, just so you know. Okay. Should the primary notch lose engagement and the secondary notch be overridden? As such, additional testing related to the Striker safety lock's design and function were conducted. Each test was conducted with a subject weapon and a trimmed rear slide cap. The weapon was placed in the subject holster and secured to a table. The holster's optic and slide covers were left in the open position to access the sear as shown below. So they were able to do this test. Okay. Anyways, they were able to put a primed case, so it doesn't have a powder or the bullet in there, but they would know that it had fired by doing this. They were able to actually put it in there and then strike it with a rubber mallet like 50 times on the right side, side cover, back, all that kind of stuff. And they were not necessarily able to get it to fire in that regard. However, the Striker safety lock successfully prevented the Striker from contacting the prime case after each manual release of the sear. No slip of the rear engagement was observed during the strikes. However, the Striker would shift laterally on the primary sear surface approximately 1/32 of an inch. Because of the inherent movement between the slide and the frame, a third test of the Striker safety lock was conducted. Approximately 50 attempts were made to determine if the Striker would impact the prime case after manipulating the weapon while holstered. The weapon was pressed together and pulled apart at the slide and the frame, kind of like how you rotate it. Like,
yeah.
Okay. Thereafter, pressure was applied to the frame and the sear manually released from the primary notch. The intent of the manipulation and pressure was to mimic what might occur to a holstered weapon during an officer's duties, such as running, jumping, climbing, fighting, or pressing a weapon against a wall or a vehicle, or obtaining a master grip on the pistol prior to drawing. BRF staff observed that the prime case fired on 9 attempts with a primer indent measuring between 0.019 inches and 0.026 with an average of 0.023 inches, while staging one attempt to allow another BRF staff member to observe the Striker safety lock function as designed. The weapon was prepared and placed into the holster with no manipulation. A second staff member released the primary sear notch from the Striker and the prime case fired, indicating failure of the Striker safety lock. The primary indentation was 0.018 inch. BRF observed 6 instances where the primer did not fire, but a small indentation was present, indicating the Striker had contacted the primer. All right, Sig. A brand new, unfired SIG M18 pistol was obtained from MSP to determine if the test could be repeated on another weapon. On the first attempt, the Striker safety lock successfully prevented the Striker from impacting the prime case. However, on the second attempt, the prime case fired, indicating the Striker safety lock failed to stop the Striker's forward movement. The primer indent measured at 0.023 inches. So they even grabbed a different gun and did this manipulation test with it. All right. So, only got a couple of minutes. A reliable test could not be developed. Their conclusion. They did this thing where SIG talks about 5 independent actions that have to occur for the 320 to discharge. All right, whatever, SIG. A reliable test could not be developed at the time of this document to test the effectiveness of the secondary sear notch. However, testing did indicate, with movements representing those common to law enforcement officer, it is possible to render the Striker safety lock inoperable and ineffective at preventing the Striker from impacting a chambered round if complete sear engagement is lost, meaning their safety doesn't do its job. And this applies to even the guns that the military has with its safety on the side, right? BRF recommends that MSP, Michigan State Police, weigh the content of this report with the outcome of the internal investigation and making its final determination related to the SIG Sauer M18 as an issued firearm within the department. You want to know what they said?
What?
The position of the MSP was that the Surefire X300 light was too wide and they needed to use the SIG Sauer light instead. That's what I said. That other part might have been important. Yesterday, July 9th, 2025, from Madison Sheehan, Deputy Director of the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement. Subject, discontinuation of approval for ICE-authorized officers to carry all models of the SIG Sauer P320 and direction to purchase Glock 19s as replacement duty handguns for affected ICE-authorized agents. They are removing all 320s from the field and replacing them with Glock 19s to include the micro dot, the light, the duty holster, and concealed carry holster. Effective immediately. Wow, SIG, good job. Uncommanded discharges.
Yeah, now if we can get our military on board, we'd be good.
Oh, they will eventually, but that's a huge contract.
That's huge.
Locke should have won it to begin with.
Yeah.
All right, that's just my personal opinion. But stay tuned. Next week, we're going to have a new class that we're going to be talking about long-range shooting.
And I may be out hiking.
Oh, good for you. All right. Take care, everybody. Stay safe and stay dry.
You've been listening to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio. Brought to you by Price RV, Auto Trim Design, by Rogers Auto Repair, and by Frontier Outfitters. To listen back to this or any past episode, log on to KFARradio.com and click on the archive page. And thanks for listening.
This is your talk station. There's absolutely